Welcome to another episode of the Guy Code. I am Rene Oswere. Now, guys, on this episode, we are going to be talking about marriages in Kenya. Now, on this episode, we'll just be covering some statistics that involve marriage in this country and some changes as far as the laws that govern the marriage institution, and we will get right into it. First of all, guys, you should understand that in this country we live in, Kenya, there has been a lot of change that has been happening as far as marriage, and the statistics definitely show it. For example, the chances of divorce are 1.3 times higher than a decade ago. We're talking about the year 2013, which is not so far back if you see it. And the chances of divorce are almost double. Now, where are most of these divorce cases happening? Now, Nairobi, the capital city, had the highest number of divorce cases in the year 2022 at around 1,500 divorce cases just in that year. Following was Nakuru, Eldoret, Ruiru, Kisumu, Thika, and Thika. So these are the top five, top six areas in the country that had the most divorce cases. Now, what do we deduce from this? Definitely the urban areas where the women are more empowered. You know, we have career women, we have lawyers, of course. You know, these days there are many women, lady advocates. We have career women who really want to fight for their autonomy and their independence. You know, they know what they want. They're around people who influence them to say, you know, girl, never settle. And they tend to have the boldness to undertake these divorce cases. And also for the men who might be, you know, starting and bringing up these divorce cases, presenting them to court, it could be also that their relationship, since it's in the urban areas, in the city, they recognize that the relationship they had or they expected to have is different than what the reality is, you know? And for most of these guys, and especially since we are still in a conservative society, we still have the belief that a lady should be fairly conservative, because most of us, the truth is, we did grow up in the city, we did grow up in the urban areas. So we witnessed, and what was modeled in front of us was a traditional marriage institution, especially in the rural areas where it's very grounded in the country, you know. And you come to the urban areas and you marry here, and the whole way of navigating through this marriage institution in the city is quite different from what most of us witnessed growing up, especially if we didn't grow up in the city. In fact, I believe Armerick says that, hey, don't marry the city girls. Don't marry the city girls. Marry a lady who has grown up with, you know, in the country, who has deep-rooted principles in her, and that is still the assumption and belief. We'll get right into it a bit later. Now, also considering the Qadhi courts. Now, Qadhi courts, which is the courts for the Islamic faith, Mombasa had the highest number of divorce cases, followed by Nairobi, Garissa, and Wajir. Mombasa being the second largest city, I would say, in the country, it had the highest number of Qadhi courts, because we believe that a large majority of the Mombasa residents are of the Islamic faith. So it makes sense that most of them would be under the, would undertake matrimony or, you know, marry under the Qadhi courts. So Why are all these divorce cases happening? Why are all these divorce cases happening left, right, and center? Well, the main reasons cited by spouses seeking divorce were abuse and cruelty, violence, infidelity, lack of maintenance, desertion, change of religion, lack of conjugal rights, drug and substance abuse, and unjustified polygamy. Now, guys, just from listening to those reasons explained and highlighted, we can imagine or deduce that it is mostly women serving these divorce papers to their spouses and bring these cases to court, you know. And of course, we can't look over the other reasons that it is mainly believed that, you know, a majority that men are the ones responsible for, as for example, violence and cruelty, you know. Definitely, that is criminal. Anyone who undertakes physical assault on anyone else, that's a criminal charge, and definitely it would make sense, you know, to want to separate yourself from that particular individual. Nonetheless, you understand that for the men who are divorced and get to serve these divorce papers and the divorce go through and it is finalized, what happens to these men? Well, you should know that 70% of divorced men in Kenya live alone. So one, unlike or going against most of the stereotypes that, you know, when a man is widowed or is a widower and separates, he quickly remarries. Well, not really. And not only does it show he doesn't remarry, most of the time, evidently, it shows that he doesn't get custody of his kids. So he not only is he alone in as far as relationship-wise, he is not living with his kids most of the time, 70% of them, right? So I would really believe that there is a large MGTOW movement in this particular group of people, group of men, who most likely have invested a lot in this marriage, not just, of course, resource-wise as far as paying dowry and investing all that stuff, but also their time. And when a man has invested so much and he's the first to receive divorce papers because of something like what? Lack of maintenance, which is quite vague. Okay, what is lack of maintenance? That you don't have a house or you don't have a big enough house. Well, you know, and lack of conjugal rights. Whatever. I don't know if they don't know. that's a tricky one. I don't know who really presents that. Maybe it could be the AFCs, the average frustrated chaps, who are not getting, you know, conjugal rights from their wives. They're like, you know what, I did sign up for this. Goodbye. That's something else. But you can imagine for a man who has invested a lot into this marriage institution, into this marriage to this lady, and she presents him these divorce papers. And for most of the time, you definitely do not want to go through that again, of course. And what happens? You take some time alone. You take some time alone to recuperate, to recover. Because that's a lot of investment. Notwithstanding the time that you can never get back, the money you might get back, hopefully, if that you didn't spend all your productive years with this individual, that you get you to a retirement place where you're not as productive as you are when you're younger. Now she just took most of the fruits of your labor when you're younger and it's gone. But it shows most of them go MGTOW, men going their own way, MGTOW. And this is 70% of the divorced men who live are the ones living alone. Now, also, guys, as we get to this divorce and we have seen the statistics that show the patterns and, you know, the frequency of divorce lately in this country, well, what about marriage? What about getting into marriage? We have talked about leaving marriage. What about getting into marriage? Well, over the last 10 years, women have been postponing their entry into marriage. Well, does the statistic show that? Yes. With 73% of women between the ages of 25 to 29 getting into marriage, but 77% of women between 30 to 34 years of age are the ones getting into marriage. Now, clearly it shows that 73% is good, but 77 is better. So it shows that over the last 10 years, you can see a gradual change and postponement of marriage. Why? Well, some of these ladies are actually going into their careers, you know. We're seeing 30 to 34. By the time a lady is 30, maybe she's done finished her degree. She's done some work experience. She's done her master's. Then she's like, you know what? Now I want to get into marriage, right? So this group of ladies, the 77% between the ages of 30 to 34 who decide to get into the marriage institution at that age, you know, being the majority compared to the ones between 25 and 29, really shows that women are definitely seeking their independence, you know. They want to live their lives, you know, living my best life. And you can see this narrative really play into society right now. You know, they're making their money. They're living their most, I would say, their prime years to themselves. You know, I choose myself, self-love. And during that years, what they be doing? They could be also working on themselves. Also, they could be getting worked on. You know what it means when they mean they're getting worked on. They're riding the carousel. You know, so among the 77% who get married within this age range, and I don't think we have yet statistics, or I have actually not been able to access the statistics, who could be older between 35 and 39, who consider marriage at that time. If I get the statistics, I will definitely share. But at this age, you can definitely see that by the time she hits 30, she's like, oh, okay, I've worked on myself, I've had my fun, you know, I've been a bridesmaid to a couple of all, maybe all my friends, been a bridesmaid to their weddings, been to all the rorashios and the koitos. For those who are international listeners, these are traditional wedding ceremonies, their names. And yeah, this is the age I want to settle down. So definitely, guys, you need to really pay attention to that, right? So if you're definitely dating a lady who is maybe 25 to 29, the chances of her considering marriage at that time is 73%, which is okay, right? But it is more likely she will consider it when she is 30 to 34, just for you to keep in touch, to take note of. So for those of you asking, okay, what about those who are under 25 now? For those under 25, in fact, the chances of them considering marriage has decreased in the last 10 years by 11%. This is the chance of a lady under 25 considering marriage in Kenya. The chances of her considering marriage when she's under 25 has decreased by 11%. I believe it's 40% chance she will consider marriage when she's under 25. She knows this is her prime years. She wants to spend it having fun, maybe working on herself. It's actually just using it for herself, right? This is the kind of pattern you should expect, and you should expect to deal with, okay? So, guys, yeah, this is the statistics. And for you, I say, okay, well, what are the areas? Where are the areas, the places we can find more of these women who might be open to marriage? Well, you should know that The highest number of married women were found in Tana River, West Pokot, and Narok, where you would be interested to find out that polygamy is still practiced widely. In fact, I believe there were some statistics not too far back, where Narok was deemed as one of the richest, if not the richest, county in the country. So, guys, you should understand, and this actually should be studied as far as a nation, that you find where most of the women and the marriage, the places where the marriage institution is still highly esteemed in the country, you can see the wealth is also there. The wealth is also present. Why? Because when you strengthen the family unit, you strengthen the family unit from an earlier stage, wealth will just come. You know, if you just out here just having people all over the streets, you're spending money on the frivolous, you know, short, pleasurable things. A lot of consumerism. Where's the money going? It's just getting sunk into a never-ending pit, right? So you can definitely see that since Narok has the top three, is in the top three as far as the highest number of married women in the country, and is also among the richest counties in the country, it definitely shows that when the marriage institution is respected, is highly esteemed, you know, the wealth and the prosperity of that community is almost guaranteed. That's what I definitely believe. If you have any other opinions on this matter, you can definitely share with me with the channels I already have, as far as Twitter at GuyCodeKenya. Now, we've talked about marriage statistics, and divorce statistics. Now, recently, there has been some changes as far as the laws governing relationships and marriage. Now, the come we stay arrangement in the country, the come we stay arrangement, where is mainly cohabiting couples, is not an automatically considered as marriage. The come we stay arrangement is not automatically considered as marriage, because marriage is purely voluntary, and recognizing some individuals would rather have an interdependent relationship, maybe after being widowed or being a widower or a divorcee. Now, this is a ruling by the Supreme Court. I'll go over it again. The come and stay arrangement right now is no longer viewed as automatic marriage. Before, it was automatic marriage, like if you stay together, you cohabit someone with almost, I think, 6 months or 7 months, that you can be recognized as marriage. But now they are reconsidering that and saying, no, in fact, marriage is purely voluntary. Unless they have expressed that they want to get into marriage, we should not impose on them the title of a married couple. Now, this was because, and really getting to understand, that there are some individuals who would rather have an interdependent relationship. Why would they choose to be an interdependent relationship? Maybe they're just from a relationship. For example, maybe the 30% of men who are not living alone, they have gone through a divorce. They're like, you know what? I do not want to really marry someone under the civil law. I just want to live with someone. You want an interdependent relationship. It will be considered as an interdependent relationship. So you shouldn't be wondering, okay, I just got divorced and I want to live with this lady that I'm checking out and I like her vibe so far. And you're wondering, okay, so if I just stay with her 6 months, now that means I'm in another marriage. I don't want that. So the court has said, unless you expressively say that, you know what, we want to be identified and regarded as a married couple, you'll not be seen as a married couple. Now, where did this ruling come from? Now, this ruling came from a dispute between two long cohabitees. Now, these individuals, they had been cohabitating from 1986. And the husband says they accumulated some savings since then to buy some property that later became a bone of contention because he was evicted from it by his spouse. Okay. Now, so according to the man, they bought the property around 1992-1993, had their home there, rented some rooms, and even a bar operated on the same premises. So I believe it's a quite a, it's a building, right? Where there's some rooms, they have a home, maybe they have a home at the top, some rentals down, then at the ground floor is a bar where the man was the manager. You know, he was taking care of supervising the day-to-day activities of the place, of the business. Now, the property was under the woman's name. Woman's name only. Because the man claims that the seller who sold the property at that, the year 1992-1993, the seller wanted to sell to someone of their tribe exclusively. Now, this means that both of them had these savings accumulated. They had identified this property. They wanted to buy it. But the seller was like, you know what? I only want to sell it to someone of my community, or my ethnicity. The man is not the same ethnicity with the seller. Was not. So the woman was. So the woman's name was brought forward. And he was like, well, that's someone from, that's one of us. I am comfortable selling it if the name on the title is one of us. And that's what happened. The man's name was not there, but he says that he also equally contributed to the capital that was raised to buy it, right? So the man, ever since they bought that property, he says he was directly involved in the construction of the structures and the renovations, right? So as far as building the building, the pipes, the sewerage, the electricity, he was directly involved. He was quite hands-on, right? But since the man has said all these things to the court, what did the lady respond? The lady rejected all these claims that he was involved in buying of the property and he was allowed to manage it just as a friend. So the lady has actually rejected this man that, no, you, your money was not involved in the buying of this property. And in fact, yes, you managed the operations of the business, the bar, on the ground floor, but you were just managing it as a friend. And the whole time, the lady says that she was actually still married the whole time she was living with this man since 1986. The lady says that she was still married under customary law to another man, but she never divorced him. So the lady is saying that when I began living with this man in 1986, I was still married. I was just separated, but I was still married to another man. Since this was illegally, or according to her, according to customary law, which is law that is still recognized in Kenya, she was someone's wife at the point where she was living with this man since 1986. So she was still married to this man, and the man she was just separated from since 1986 died in the year 2011. Now, when this man died, who is actually her known husband by customary law, the cohabitee, you know, the business partner, pushed to have a civil marriage with this lady, but she rejected these requests, right? So what she's telling the court right now is that, in fact, I could not be married to this man because at the time we were living together and we were starting to build all these projects, I was still someone else's wife, so I didn't have the capacity to be married to this man. So when the court listened to this case, they said, you know what? According to this, we can't really say and impose on them that they were really husband and wife, even though they have been together for almost, what? We're talking over 35 years? We can't recognize it as a marriage institution because, according to her, she was still married to someone else up until the year 2011, where she could, at the time, consider marrying this guy legally, but she did not do that. So That's what happened. And guys, what do we learn from this story? Number one, guys, I think Americ has said it a lot. Leave someone else's wife alone. This man suffered from one-itis, right? He seemed like a really nice guy. If he had some savings back then to invest in some property, he definitely could have found his own, you know, partner. Some young feminine girls, can believe there are several of them in the year 1986. Several feminine girls he could have found and married at the time. And now he just got the baited switch over 35 years later. Imagine, guys, you know. So you can see the one-itis in him for the past 35 years, not only investing his time and his emotions in this lady, but also getting into projects together, knowing very well that this lady was someone else's wife, according to customary law, because she couldn't have hid that for over 35 years. And also, he knew when the guy died and tried to push to get a formal wedding to her, which she refused. Now, also, what else do we understand? What else do we learn? We learn Bruffalo's law. This lady did not consider this man as an asset anymore to her life. I believe the report says that at the time this case was in court, they were earning about 258,000 Kenya shillings from the rentals. I believe that's minus the business of the bar, you know? And that's decent money to get as passive income in this country. That's about $2,000. That's decent money, especially since our GDP per capita is about $4,300. To get $2,000 to $2,300 passive, that's not bad. That's not bad, you know, from an investment. So definitely this lady saw this guy as, you know what, you're no longer an asset to me, you know. You don't have any more money to put up to buy another project. So, bro, see you done. And probably she's even hypergamous. She's now found another man who will now invest into another bigger project that she may want to buy. I don't know if a building maybe in the city or in the wherever. Now, this guy, what happens to him? The case is thrown out. He becomes an AFC, an Avery frustrated champ. You know, he's fallen victim to female nature. And that's just how he will have to take that L and learn from it. So no names have been named, but for guys, if you may know who he is, man, direct him over to this side, to the Red Pill side, to the Brotherhood. We need to give him some of this female nature and Red Pill knowledge. Now, that was one law that has really been reconsidered by the court this month, and it definitely has caused a lot of conversations online. Definitely, if you have some of your opinions that you want to, some of your takes that you want to share with us, definitely share with us, and we look forward to engaging in this topic as it unfolds, maybe later in the year and in the coming years. Now, another law was the Supreme Court has ruled that in the case of divorce, each party should leave the marriage with property he or she acquired during the union through a spouse, though a spouse may get more based on his or her acquisition of the matrimonial wealth, right? Now, the test to determine the contribution is a case-to-case basis. And the contributions include directly or indirectly. Now, indirect contributions to the marriage include also caring for the children, right? And doing even the housework and stuff like that, caring for the household and stuff like that. So, in this particular ruling, it seems that right now the Supreme Court has seen that, you know what, that automatic 50-50 split of wealth when you divorce, it will no longer hold water. It's no longer automatic that, hey, when you divorce, 50%, regardless of what you contributed. Well, it has to be considering and put into perspective what each individual contributed to the acquisition of the matrimonial wealth. This is great. This is great, especially for the guys who are thinking, man, I'm working on myself. I want to get some of these assets. And how do I protect myself from being exploited? Because maybe you want, you know, of course, you want to have a strong lineage and you want to leave all your wealth to your children. And you don't want it to be split to an ex-wife who will maybe spend it to another, I don't know, to a boy toy or to another man or to their baby daddy. I don't know. And you're like, you know what? I want to ensure that my wealth goes directly to my children and I don't want it to be spent on any other stranger. Well, since you are scratching your heads about prenups, well, the Supreme Court has come in clutch on this particular situation. And yeah, well, you leave the marriage with, depending on what you did to acquire the matrimonial wealth. And there will be tests to weigh the contribution you made. So the possibility of a bait and switch has been reduced significantly. And for the passport bros, you know, who are wondering, hey, man, in the West, the divorce courts, they are ruthless. They just even take, no, forget 50%. They take 70% of the man's wealth and give it to the lady. Well, in this country, the 50-50 doesn't really automatic like that. So, yeah, that's a good thing. The case that, you know, prompted this ruling is another case. I believe it was in Kisii or between a Kisii couple. And I think I don't have much information on that, but you can look it up. You can look it up as far as what caused the divorce case or the divorce case ruling. You can definitely look it up. It's always online. I believe all the media outlets have that story on what prompted it and how the ruling was made. So the main point is, guys, with these new marriage laws, it definitely gives us a lot to consider for the some of us who are purple pill, you know, who really want to look into marriage, not the black pill ones who have already, you know, forgotten it, or the MGTOW. For some of us purple pill guys who are like, you know what, I really want to understand female nature, I really want to work on myself, but I want to make sure that I know what I'm getting into and the environment that surrounds this marriage institution. Where this is what we have as far as January of 2023. I hope I've given you some very valuable insights as it unfolds. We will definitely have more conversations on this subject, and I really look forward to your feedback on this subject as well. And until next time, guys, we shall talk soon. Bye.
Guy Code with Rena Osoye.